Hello, NAPMA members, and welcome to the Sounds of Success. I'm Mark Graydon. This month, we provide a roadmap to your school's success in several key areas of operation, marketing, and student service. Former World Taekwondo Champion Martial Arts Business... Former World Open Taekwondo Champion, Martial Arts Business Consultant Kathy Marler teaches detailed methods for running classes more smoothly and providing superior service to your students. Then we hear from NAPMA member Terry Brumley about how he uses the results of an independent survey of his students to help visually quantify results to his prospective students during the sales process. First up, it's Toby Milroy with some words about your summer marketing plans. But before we go to Toby, let's preview the NAPMA Innovations DVD for this month, where we provide material to make you look very good in the eyes of your students. First up, Rinolfo Gonzalez is the consummate children's instructor, who consistently matches or exceeds the energy and enthusiasm of his students. This segment shows a superbly run children's class in progress. Master Gonzalez and other veteran martial arts professionals just like him represent one of the strengths of the new NAPMA. They are in the trenches, teaching classes and running successful schools day after day, which is a major advantage for our members, and these types of quality instructors are available to NAPMA more now and at a higher level than ever before. Then, in an Edge MMA 10th Anniversary Joe Louis Conference preview, one of the top trainers in the Joe Louis Association, my good friend Danny Dring, has trained successful fighters in MMA, jiu-jitsu, and a variety of kickboxing sports. In a clip from a previous Joe Louis conference, Mr. Dring teaches vital material that should be a part of every complete MMA curriculum, and that is how to deal with a fighter who is shooting for your leg. Plus, in our Easy Defense segment, we continue to learn vital lessons about how to prepare students for the real encounter by exposing them to the effects of adrenal stress. In this segment, we learn more drills that put your students in that adrenal state, and important classroom exercises that give the students the opportunity to process the information that they're receiving from their minds and their bodies in these scenarios and allows them to feed it back to the group. And in our bonus segment, we take you to the floor of the U.S. Open, where the top competitors in the NASCA circuit, as well as competitors from all around the world, compete for sport martial arts' biggest and most enduring trophy. The competitors who rise to the top in this tournament are the sport martial arts star athletes. These are the Hakeem Olajuwons and Tony Romos. They're the Jose Canseco's and Tony Tarvers of our sports. These martial arts athletes deserve every bit as much recognition and notoriety as their counterparts in other sports. This month, we speak with Steve Tirada, Alex Lane, Don Rodriguez, and Lauren Kearney. So this month, it's a high-energy kids class, low-level adrenal stress drills, 10th anniversary Joe Louis conference preview with MMA coach Danny Dring, and more stars of the U.S. Open Karate Championships, and it's all on the NAPMA Innovations DVD this month, so be sure to check it out. Next up, it's NAPMA COO marketing expert Toby Milroy with your marketing message for this month.
Welcome to the Sounds of Success, brought to you by the National Association of Professional Martial Artists. This audio magazine is a tool for generating profitable ideas and for taking your business to new levels of excellence and performance. Now here's your host, Mark Graydon.
Hello, NAPMA members, and welcome to the Sounds of Success. I'm Mark Graydon. This month, we provide a roadmap to your school's success in several key areas of operation, marketing, and student service. Former World Open Taekwondo Champion, Martial Arts Business Consultant Kathy Marler teaches detailed methods for running classes more smoothly and providing superior service to your students. Then we hear from NAPMA member Terry Brumley about how he uses the results of an independent survey of his students to help visually quantify results to his prospective students during the sales process. First up, it's Toby Milroy with some words about your summer marketing plans. But before we go to Toby, let's preview the NAPMA Innovations DVD for this month, where we provide material to make you look very good in the eyes of your students. First up, Rinolfo Gonzalez is the consummate children's instructor, who consistently matches or exceeds the energy and enthusiasm of his students. This segment shows a superbly run children's class in progress. Master Gonzalez and other veteran martial arts professionals just like him represent one of the strengths of the new NAPMA. They are in the trenches, teaching classes and running successful schools day after day, which is a major advantage for our members, and these types of quality instructors are available to NAPMA more now and at a higher level than ever before. Then, in an Edge MMA 10th Anniversary Joe Louis Conference preview, one of the top trainers in the Joe Louis Association, my good friend Danny Dring, has trained successful fighters in MMA, Jiu-Jitsu, and a variety of kickboxing sports. In a clip from a previous Joe Louis conference, Mr. Dring teaches vital material that should be a part of every complete MMA curriculum, and that is how to deal with a fighter who is shooting for your leg. Plus, in our Easy Defense segment, we continue to learn vital lessons about how to prepare students for the real encounter by exposing them to the effects of adrenal stress. In this segment, we learn more drills that put your students in that adrenal state, and important classroom exercises that give the students the opportunity to process the information that they're receiving from their minds and their bodies in these scenarios and allows them to feed it back to the group. And in our bonus segment, we take you to the floor of the U.S. Open, where the top competitors in the NASCA circuit, as well as competitors from all around the world, compete for sport martial arts' biggest and most enduring trophy. The competitors who rise to the top in this tournament are the sport martial arts star athletes. These are the Hakeem Olajuwons and Tony Romos. They're the Jose Cansecos and Tony Tarvers of our sports. These martial arts athletes deserve every bit as much recognition and notoriety as their counterparts in other sports. This month, we speak with Steve Tirada, Alex Lane, Don Rodriguez, and Lauren Kearney. So this month, it's the High Energy Kids Class, Low Level Adrenal Stress Drills, 10th Anniversary Joe Louis Conference Preview with MMA Coach Danny Dring, and more stars of the U.S. Open Karate Championship, and it's all on the NAPMA Innovations DVD this month, so be sure to check it out. Next up, it's NAPMA COO Marketing Expert Toby Milroy with your marketing message for this month.
Hi there, NAPMA members. This is Toby Milroy again with your Marketing Minute. And while you're listening to this, we're in the midst of the summer heat in most of the nation, and many martial arts school owners are singing the summertime blues with slowdowns in enrollments and revenue and active student counts. If you've been following and implementing the systems and strategies we've been discussing and teaching over the last several months, you shouldn't be in that category. You should be driving lots and lots of fresh new leads into the school and capitalizing on those opportunities that other school owners pass up. And two of which is what I wanted to quickly talk about today. Number one is keep in mind the unique opportunity in the summertime to get out in front of lots and lots of community groups who have big groups of your potential prospects as their constituency. For example, if I'm a family-oriented school trying to attract the family market with kids, then certainly there are lots of opportunities in the community to get out in front of big groups of those prospects. All of the summer sports camps that are happening in your area, all of the local summer camps and those types of activities that are happening in your area, you should be building great relationships with those facilitators and providing them with services of value that could drive leads back into your school. And the second component of that strategy, of course, is during the summer months, and especially with a difficult economy like where many people feel that they're experiencing right now, business-to-business promotions are a wonderful opportunity right now to create new streams of leads and new streams of traffic. Now more than ever, local businesses who may be hurting a little bit may be more and more willing to cooperate with you and help build synergies back and forth. A great example of this type of synergistic approach or synergistic business-to-business promotion would be just like last month's Maximum Impact Package, where Master Robert Blum described his restaurant placemat promotion, where he works with local mom-and-pop restaurants to provide them with a kid's menu or a kid's placemat that has ads for basically ads for his martial arts school, and also character development activities involved in on that placemat and things like that. So those types of relationships, those types of strategies, this time of the year are amazingly effective and really present a win-win opportunity for you and the other business owner. So it does represent a unique opportunity during the summer months when school owners many times have some free time during the day to create those business-to-business relationships and solidify those in your community around you. The last item we wanted to talk about today is another unique opportunity that we have in the summertime, and especially for martial arts school owners who want to take their career to the next level and to bring staff up underneath them and provide a career opportunity, a career ladder for those staff members. The summertime represents a unique opportunity to bring together potential staff members into a high-intensity staff training experience where you could bring 10, 15, or 20 potential staff member prospects into an accelerated staff training program, since in many cases our assistant instructor or assistant positions are filled by high school students, college students, etc. This is a unique opportunity to capture that segment of the market while they're not in school and bring them through a sort of like an accelerating staff training process, an accelerated staff training experience that at the end of the summer or at the end of 6 or 7 weeks, whichever the case may be, you could have two or three or four really good, highly skilled potential staff members in your school. So this is certainly an opportunity during the summer months to capitalize on this. So I highly recommend that you simply make the choice to create your own reality this summer. Refuse to let the summer slowdown affect you in your school. Instead, make summer the busiest time of the year to generate the most leads and to generate the most community involvement activities, the best business-to-business relationships, and develop higher quality and new staff members during this wonderful season of the year. Thank you so much, and we'll talk next time.
Next up, Kathy Marler is one of my martial arts sisters. I remember she tested for a high brown belt rank when I made my second degree black belt. And I remember being impressed by this young lady's strength, stamina, and determination. Later, she added fantastic form to the equation to become one of the most skilled martial artists I have ever had the opportunity to work with. And that is saying a lot. Later, she became a fantastic teacher and school owner. In this segment, she's going to talk about some keys to providing better value to your students.
I'm Kathy Marler, and I'd like to share with you some of the advantages of teaching benefits in your classroom. How many of us, when we first talk to parents, either on the phone or in person, talk about how we want to help their child develop success skills? I know I'm one. Your child wants better self-discipline? We can help you with that. More self-control in your child's classes? Not a problem. You've called the right place. Self-discipline? Oh yes, we teach that. When new students come into your school, they have a lot of expectations. They're watching us very closely to see if we follow through, keep our promises, and walk our talk. Teaching benefits in your classroom does just that. It meets their expectations, and it may even exceed their expectations. You'll have the parents wondering why they didn't bring their children to you sooner, and why they even thought about the guy down the street. A lot of us already have some very good tools in place in our schools for teaching benefits. If you're using a student creed, the message or a theme of the week, jobless, and an intent or permission to promote form for testing, you've already got the idea. Parents already see the benefit in your school. However, it's not enough just to have those things. You need to sit down with your students and explain what these things mean and how they can take them outside of the karate school and use them to improve their everyday lives. I feel strongly that having a student creed in your school is as important as teaching self-defense. In fact, a good student creed is actually mental self-defense. It should keep you positive and uplifted all day when you think of it. It should remind you to have a positive outlook towards yourself as well as other people. And it should ward off negative thoughts. The beginning of your student creed might go something like this. I develop myself for success, mentally, physically, and spiritually, by avoiding negative habits and attitudes. In my case, that is line one of our student creed. What I do is I explain to the class exactly what those words mean. Then I ask the children to give me examples of a certain part of the sentence. For example, who knows what a negative habit or a bad habit is? Raise your hand and let's talk about it. I might call on 3 or 4 children. I really want the whole class to be listening and to get involved in the discussion. After they've given me examples of what a negative or a bad habit is, then I want them to raise their hand and give me an example of something that they do that's good or that helps develop them for success. Try to get every single kid in the class to answer. If you have 1 or 2 that are a little bit shy about it, kind of ask some questions. Well, did you hold the door open for someone today? Did you listen to your school teacher? Did you help stop a fight? Did you give someone a compliment? Ask them questions until they go, yes, I did that. Well, then you can tell them, see, you have a positive attitude, or see, you found a positive habit. Kids are so used to hearing, don't do this, or you should have done this, that you really want them to give you the positive. Have them tell you why they're a good person, because they'll tend to believe it.
And to show, please line one of the student creed with me and begin. I develop myself for success, mentally, physically, and spiritually, by avoiding negative habits and attitudes. And line 2, please. I develop self-discipline in order to bring out the best in myself and others. And line 3. I use my martial arts constructively and defensively, building a strong community through social harmony, and I only use might for right. Saw some energy. Make sure you memorize that, because we're going to ask you to say it a whole lot and internalize it and really know the stuff. Our thoughts on the week, our message of the week, is basically that it's the results that count. Whenever you set a goal, a lot of things can distract you from your goal. Some people even make excuses and reasons why they didn't achieve their goal. But what really matters is what the results were. Kids in school might fail one test and give up and make an excuse, well, I got an F in science because I just couldn't pass those tests. Whereas another child might fail one test and go, hey, I'm gonna turn the ship around. It's the results that count at the end. So if I get a bunch of A's and B's on everything else, I may still get a B for the semester, or even an A, you never know. So that's the type of person we wanna be. You want to focus in on the results, not making excuses, because really there's no good reason to make excuses. The plan works, sorry, bad joke. Okay, everybody, let's go ahead and go to work, please. We come to debate.
What is a message of the week? Well, it could be a quote from a famous person. For example, Mark Twain said there are 1,000 good excuses for every failure, but never a good reason. You could talk about that in your classes and explain it in a little bit more detail. Or you could take a word. For example, persistence. Talk about what black belt persistence is, and also how they can use persistence to improve their everyday lives. Now, how long should your message of the week be? Should be no more than about 60 to 90 seconds to be effective. If you talk too long, you're going to lose your students. If you talk just not quite long enough, they may not understand what you mean. So 60 to 90 seconds is ideal to get your class motivated and pumped up and ready to work. Please do the message of the week at the beginning of your class. It makes a big difference. Everyone will be raring to go, and in the middle of your class, you can even incorporate a couple of drills where you refer to what the message of the week is. For example, if my message of the week is on persistence, perhaps I have my class geared up in sparring gear. They're facing each other doing drills back and forth. One person can only use a side kick. The other person is trying to beat the kicker by using a reverse punch. Let's say the puncher gets kicked several times. It's starting to get just a little bit discouraged. If I come around and remind the class that if they use persistence, they're eventually going to get the drill right, that might make a big difference. What if he quit on the 5th try when he was going to get it on the 6th try? With children, you can take that same lesson and talk about it in school as well. What if you failed a spelling test and your teacher said you have 1 more chance? Would you have enough persistence to go home, review those spelling words, practice, go back, and ace that exam? It's the same thing as you do in class right now, trying to beat the kicker with the punch. Don't forget to summarize your message of the week when you're finishing your classes. Now let's move on to jobless. Parents love jobless, and that's how we keep our promise on developing self-discipline. When you make your job list for your students, you might want to break it into about three main categories. A family section, to see how they're getting along with their family at home and how they're treating them. Perhaps a chore list, things that parents expect their children to do at home anyway. And then a school category. Turning homework in on time is a good one to put in there, as well as paying attention in class and maybe not succumbing to bad peer pressure would be another good one. If you make your job list age appropriate, you'll have a lot better luck getting the kids to do it as well. What I mean by that is, don't ask a 15-year-old if he's been taking a bath under, you know, a category for chores or for self-care at home. You know they're taking three. You don't need to do that. So try to make it age appropriate. Put in things that a teenager should be doing. Put in things that a preteen should be doing. And maybe make another list for the little ones. They may not make their bed. They may unmake the bed if they're 4 or 5 years old. So keep that in mind when you do that. Another thing you might want to do on your job list is leave a couple of extra blanks in every category. The reason we do that is we tell the kids that if they fill in those blanks with something extra that we didn't ask them to do, they get some type of special privilege. Maybe we let them lead class for 60 seconds or so. Maybe we have a special prize or a ribbon for them. You can leave it to your imagination. It's basically extra credit on the job list form. You'll be surprised at how many kids will fill in extra blanks on the job list. I've had kids go home and weed the garden, mow the lawn without being asked. The parents almost fell over. They were ecstatic. They loved it. Also, it's important when you hand out job lists to the kids to sit down with them and the parents and let them know there's a difference between discipline and self-discipline. Discipline is when somebody else has to tell you to do something. Self-discipline is when they do it on their own. So on the job list, if their parents have to say, hey, you didn't fill out this category, go do it, they don't get credit for it. They have to do it. When the parent asks them, their only response should be, it's finished, ma'am or sir. By doing this, once again, we're keeping our promise for self-discipline. The kids are happy because they get extra attention from you and their parents for going above and beyond the call of duty. So we're teaching them to be above average as well. So the job list is a wonderful tool, and you'll want to keep it in your school. Let's talk for a few moments about the intent to promote form. When your children are ready to go on to the next colored belt in your school, you'll want to send this form home with them. What the form says, basically, is it asks two questions. One, are the children cooperating and respectful at home? They get an agree or a disagree from the parents. Then the form goes to the school, to the teachers. Is this student receiving passing grades and being respectful? Agree or disagree? When the instructor gets this form back, one or two things happens. One, if both the parents and the teachers agree that the kid is doing great, they're tested. Two, if a form comes back with the word disagree circled, you need to sit down with either the parents or the teacher at school and find out exactly what's going on with the child. Why did they disagree? From talking to the parents or the teacher, you then make a judgment call on whether you'll still let the child test or whether, nope, that's it. They need to be held back until things improve at home or at school. By using the intent to promote, you're letting the child know that you expect black belt excellence everywhere they are, every minute of the day. And that will definitely help you keep your promises once again to the parents. By teaching benefits in your classroom, your students will come up with some amazing things. They're going to improve at school. They're going to improve at home. And they're going to be happier and have better attitudes. So teaching benefits using your student creed, your message of the week, your job list, and that intent to promote form is very important. I'd like to discuss the importance of using lesson plans when you teach in your classes. It's the mark of a true professional. How many times have you had someone else assist with your classes and they didn't really know what was going on? Or, classes seem a bit repetitious. What did I teach a couple classes ago? I can't remember. But if I had a lesson plan on file, I could have just flipped back a couple weeks to find out exactly what it was that I taught in classes. lesson plans help you not only communicate to your assistant instructors or your new black belt instructors, but they also help create consistency among the instructors. So if I know that Monday and Tuesday, every class I teach has certain things in it, and every instructor that comes in teaches the same things, I know that when it comes around for test time, my students are going to be ready because I made sure by using a lesson plan. I can't emphasize enough the importance of a good lesson plan, but besides making sure that you get necessary curriculum accomplished in class, you can also plan exactly what mental and physical benefits you want to instill in your students. For example, I even plan in my lesson plans exactly what I'm going to teach as far as a mental benefit. This week, I want my students to discuss what teamwork is and how that can relate to their jobs and their schoolwork, how they can become black belts at teamwork. So when I create my lesson plan, my message of the week will be on teamwork. When I create my drills for my class, I will decide how I'm going to get the message of teamwork across in my drills. And I will also decide how to use teamwork in my physical drills. So we're doing a mental, a physical benefit with teamwork, and even in our drills in our classes. So it works out quite well. Now, a couple of things we can start with basically is from 0 to 10 minutes. When I create my lesson plans, from 0 to 10 is my mental warm-up. Okay, it's to get your students in a very good state of mind, get them really ready to learn in your classes. It might include things like your student creed at the very beginning. Next, you may want to go into your message of the week. Okay, set the tone. Spend about 60 seconds on your message of the week to a minute and a half. No more than that, or you're going to lose your students. By keeping it short and concise, you're going to excite them, and they're going to be ready for action. Next, between the 0 and 10 mark, I might go ahead and go into basics. If you've got traditional basics, something that's not real hard to do that requires a lot of physical stretching, that's going to get them once again in the right frame of mind. So I may do basics. From there, I'll take it to a warm-up. Now, in your lesson plans, if you have newer instructors, you might even want to write out exactly what is in the warm-up. If you have more experienced instructors and they really are used to pumping that class up, you may not need to go that far. It's really up to you. But in my warm-ups, I might even add jumping jacks, palm touches, shadow fighting, some type of high-energy warm-up drill that you don't need to be real stretched out. The last couple minutes of my warm-up period, we'll sit down and do some actual stretching out so they're ready to break up and go right into the next segment. Okay, so now we're at the 10-minute mark. Your students are pumped, they're excited, they're ready to go, they already know what the message of the week is, and you're ready to take off and go to the next segment. Okay. Now, I may choose to put kata or form work in the 15-minute period that comes after the warm-up. Okay? For my kata warm-up in this particular lesson plan, what I've done is the first 5 minutes I'm going to teach part of a kata, just a little bit, maybe the first half, maybe the first third of the form, and I'll teach everybody that. Then the next 5 minutes I may have them break off into groups. Everybody get a partner, introduce yourself, and get ready for some teamwork. When we work together on this drill, what you're going to do is you're going to work with your partner on helping correct every move they make, help correct their balance, their technique, their focus. You set the goal as the instructor, but we're going to use black belt teamwork. Now is where I can go in and kind of review what the message of the week was and how we can actually use a drill in class to illustrate black belt teamwork. Now that the drill's over, I've got 5 minutes left. I can choose to teach a little bit more of the kata, or I might choose to blast through the actual underrank forms and give them a really good workout, get them sweaty, smiling, and sore. So the next 5 minutes, I might go into just some high power energy forms. So to recap that, what I just did is I went 5 minutes, I taught a form. 5 minutes, we had a partner drill, and I brought back what the message of the week was. I reminded them of that mental benefit, okay? And then the last 5 minutes, I probably blasted them through their kata, okay? Now, you can put anything you want in this 15 minutes. I usually put in something that relates to test curriculum. You might be one steps, It could be sparring drills. It could be anything. But I usually like to put whatever requires the most concentration and focus in the first 15 minutes of actual work, because they're usually more receptive and ready to go at that point. Now, when I move into another segment, this next segment this week I made just 10 minutes long. Okay, and the reason I did that is they just came out of a 15-minute segment. I like a lot of starts and stops when I make my lesson plans. So this is a little shorter, and it's going to be very exciting as well. What we're going to do today is we're going to go into some target kicking, and everybody will need a partner. Once again, guess what I'm going to remind them of? Black belt. Teamwork, back to that message of the week again and how they can use that. Now in this spot where we're going to go into some target kicking, I'm going to make it fast-paced. This is where I'm going to get these guys huffing and puffing. Okay, I'm going to get them really working. So they've got partners, they have targets. I'm going to work maybe some speed kicking in class. So once we're finished with the speed kicking, I may, you know, make sure everybody got a workout. I may ask a question like, hey, you know, is everybody's hearts working? Do you guys feel like you're getting a really good workout in? How would you feel if you could kick somebody 60 times in a 60-second round to keep them off your case? That's why we're working these kicks. Give them a purpose. Give them a reason to work that hard. Or, hey, how would you like to kick somebody 3 times before they could block it once? That's our goal when we work on our target kicking, okay, with our teammates, our personal coaches, our black belt coaches. Now, I've got the 25 to the 35-minute mark taken care of. These guys are SSS, sweaty, smiling, and a little bit sore. Okay. Now, I want to go into a fun segment of class. By a fun segment, just for 5 minutes, I want to do something with the entire group that kind of takes them away from the fact that I just worked their buns off. I want to bring their state, you know, to a very enthusiastic level. So what I might do in this class is have them do some drills up and down across the floor where we actually work on relay kicking. So let's say I have 20 people in my class. I might break into 4 lines of 5 people. They may be going across the floor doing jump front kicks across the floor or pump round kicks without sitting their leg down, run back, tag their partner's hands, high fives, go to the end of the line, do some push-ups and sit-ups before you get back in the line. And we'll do this for about 5 minutes. Everyone's allowed to clap and cheer. And once again, what? Coach their partners. Black belt encouragement. How would that affect your daily lives at work if everybody who worked with you was your coach and was there to encourage you? How would you guys do at school if every single student who sat around you was there to make sure you were doing a good job and trying your very hardest? How would that affect things? What kind of a school would this be if everybody in it acted just like that? Powerful, very enthusiastic, and very successful. So those are some of the things that you can do for fun drills. Now, after they've had their fun, we're winding down just a little bit here, and for about 2.5 to 3 minutes, we'll do a cool down. Everybody have a seat, get their heart rates down. It could be some flexibility work. It could be some partner stretching with flexibility. It could be a little more conditioning, okay? It could be anything like that. Just something to slow down that heart rate, get them cooled down so they don't go out of class huffing and puffing and never really hearing what you said in your announcements at the end of the class, okay? So now our students have slowed down a little bit. They're cooling down a little bit. The last 2.5 minutes, guess what we do again? We review the message of the week one more time. And this is where I ask the students questions. I want them to tell me how they can use the message of the week at work and at home and in their family lives. So who can give me an example of how they can use teamwork at their jobs? Call on 1 or 2 good students. Who can give me an example of how they can use teamwork at school to make everyone's job a little bit easier, including the teachers? Okay, who can use teamwork at home to help mom and dad be happier and help them out at home? I mean, who can give me examples of this? So now you've really ingrained what? How they can use black belt excellence in the school, out of the school, during drills, all the time. So they understand this fully. You've explained it. The last few minutes after the message of the week summary comes, then it's good, a good time for announcements. What's coming up in the school is discussed. Testing's coming up next week. Make sure you bring in your job list and your goal commitment sheets, your intent to promote. Ski tops required. Whatever your announcements are, go into that a little bit. And last but not least, to finish on a positive note, you may point out a few students in class that worked extra hard today. Or perhaps they brought in report cards for you to read to everybody. Now's a great time to pull them up in front of the class and give them recognition. Give them that little pat on the back that they deserve. I've gone through everything now with my class. The next class that I plan, I know exactly what I covered. I covered kata and I covered kicks. Now, the next class, I may want to cover combinations, and I may want to cover one steps, or self-defense, or sparring drills and sparring. So this gives me a really good outlook to what I've already covered, so I'm not repetitive. I know there had been times where I had instructors around me that weren't using lesson plans, and when it came time for test time, they called out combinations on the test, and the students went, we never did combinations in the last 8 classes, sir. He's like, oh yes, you did. You can imagine what that does to retention. It does not help a bit. So by clear, concise lesson plans, knowing exactly what's been taught in those classes and how long it was taught, you can ensure that you're covering all of your material. Once again, professionals use these things. Don't say, God, it's in my head, I have a good idea. Write it out. Keep a log of these things. When your SWAT team comes in to teach, have copies available. So if they come in 10 minutes early, they can study these things and they know exactly what's going on. 10-minute warm-up, 15 minutes is the first, 10 minutes is the next group. Okay, I know I'm teaching kata tonight. I better go over it a few times in my head. It just makes everything wonderful, and this helps retention tremendously.
Next up, NAPMA member Terry Brumley paid an outside firm to conduct extensive member surveys in his school. He uses the results in the presentation process to boost his sales. In the segment that follows, he will tell you how he did it. Enjoy.
This year, benefit from personalizing your own professionalism in your own studio. Here's how. I want to allow you to understand a study that was done on our studio and how you might benefit from it. This is an extensive study of wants, needs, and desires of people going into the martial arts. Now, when I first decided to design this, I first want to allow you to understand something. We had created a tremendous amount of success principles in our business, and the success principles are what really gives our company the drive and force to create such results as these. Every one of you have success principles, whether you know it or not, in your studio, and these success principles are going to determine how well, what type of results you get, and what are your weaknesses and what are your strengths. And as we have all done in the in prior months and years being the martial artist, we've read a tremendous amount of books and tapes and seminars on a lot of different areas. My focus has been on success, on motivation, parenting, and child development, as well as marketing, because I wanted my studio to continue to get better, stronger, better quality, and larger as well. Also, I've had some really close mentors, some independent consultants who have helped me. One named Mr. Lee Jenkins, who is was a retired president of Shearing Plow Incorporated. Mr. Jenkins, when he became president of this company, it was a multi-million dollar company. When he retired, it was a multi-billion dollar company. He's been a great and tremendous support and mentor of mine. Also, a very close mentor of mine is the founder of Holiday Inn, Mr. Kimmons Wilson, who still puts out a 12-hour day each day in his company and has been retired for several years. And Dr. Raymond Mulhern, who assisted me in this study. Dr. Mulhern is a clinical child psychologist. His son is also involved in my program, so he's a hands-on person in our school. Now, in creating some of these success principles, we implement things, we measure them as long as we can, and we throw away the trash and keep the good stuff. But then we wanted to know, how can we find out what the results were? So I personally could not professionally find out what the results were, because I didn't have the system, I didn't have the understanding of all the results that I could find. I could have found out some, and I've conducted a few studies in my school, but not to have the extensive study that I obtained here. I also couldn't do it on a timely fashion, because it was going to take me many hours of research and just trying to pull this together. So I found a professional, Dr. Mulhern, who had the knowledge and understanding. One of the other benefits of the way we've conducted this study, it's an anonymous study. an anonymous independent study, meaning that a man or a team of people come into our business, they conduct studies without my staff knowing, without me knowing, without any of my instructors knowing, which allowed me to get true results and not just what the some of the students will tell you what they think you want to hear. But the study we were conducted let us know what the true results were. There's no way I can go through all the results that I obtained today, but I want to share with you some of those. One of the ways that we did this, we developed our assessment method, and then we obtained the results. It took us months to do this, but we've got a much better plan to do it now. If you were interested, to get the professional results, let me show you what we have. Just a few of the key points that we found, and I want to also let you know how we've developed this, put this on graphs, and how we use it in our studio now. These graphs and these pie charts will allow you to understand the improvements and value of our program. These pie charts and graphs are strategically placed in our school, so every day when every student walks in the door, they see these. It's something that's part of the school, just like the front door is part of the school. Let me share with you some of the results that we have, and this is an impact that has made on our school. One is improvement in self-esteem. Self-esteem grew faster than anything that grew in our program, and Dr. Mulhern believes it's because of some of the success principles and things that we've implemented by calling our students winners and champions and the reward systems and all the other things that we've implemented. This chart shows you the percent of students on the top side, and it shows the length of time on the bottom. So as you can see the graph going up, the students can see if I stay in, the students that have been in the program so far, the longer they stay in, the higher percent of students feel that they have had a great improvement in self-esteem. Now, then we can go to a different one. For instance, improvement in attention. There's a lot of students and a lot of parents out there that want their children to listen to them the first time that they say something, and they believe that if the child's not listening, they're not paying attention. So we studied attention because we knew that it was a desire of our parents when buying our program and staying in our program. We also showed the percent of students as well as the length of time. We studied improvements in fitness. In the same type of pie graph, we studied improvements in self-control. Several parents were coming in wanting to know that if this would develop some discipline in their child. If they come in and study that, and, or want that, or the parent or the adult comes in and wants to alleviate stress, we tell them that stress only comes when we are not in personal control of ourselves. So they're going to gain a tremendous amount of self-control. And we also studied improvements in confidence. Now I want to share with you how we use some of these things in our studio. One is we use these in sales. We are a needs analysis business. When we find out what the need is of the student, we allow them in a short period of time to know that we can accomplish that need, and then we turn to the charts, almost like having a testimonial board of many of the students, majority of the students, and we say, obviously, that this need has been proven in our studio, and let me show you not only how it's been proven, but the length of time that you'll see the improvement. This has been a very easy graph to give as far as sales. Now, as far as retention, we keep these graphs on the board all the time. Every time a student walks in, he sees the graphs, he understands that the longer he stays in, the more he's going to improve in these areas of his life and anything else he might be interested in, because we are that needs analysis type of business and we're going to allow that to happen in his life, which has made it easier for us to upgrade students on either another program or a Black Belt Club program. And if they know that the improvements that they've already reached in a short period of time, maybe 6 months, and they know that these improvements, there's still a lot of area for improvement, it's easier for them to upgrade. As well as staff development. This is a great boost for my staff. They stay focused on exactly what they need to do to keep these graphs going up. They know that they have to have drills for increasing attention, fitness, confidence, self-control, and self-esteem. So my staff are focused on these elements all the time through their training. Anytime they walk out on the floor, they're not out there to teach the movements of martial art. They're out to teach these areas of development, and the movements of martial art is just a vehicle to allow that to happen. Obviously, this was not the only thing that we found in the study. This study gave me a tremendous insight on what my where my company was. I want to share one thing with you. We found that the biggest weakness in our program was the students wanted more individual attention. Well, at the time, we had heard a lot about the SWAT team, but we didn't realize of what value it was. So I knew I couldn't hire a lot of other instructors, so I hired a strong SWAT team, or didn't hire one, I implemented a strong SWAT team, and then the SWAT team now gives the individual attention to the students and the morale building that takes place. So now, and knowing that that was a weakness, now it's not a weakness, it's a strength. There are some other weaknesses that I had, and I've also implemented them to be strengths as well. The other part of our study showed us three areas. One is the relationship that the instructor had with the student. The second is the instructor's skill. And third, the overall value of the program. Now, as you can see on our ratings, we got no poor rating, which would have been a blue mark on the board. We only got a 1 or 2% of all of these on a fair rating. The rest of it, either 99 or 98%, was either good or excellent. Excellent being in the yellow, and there's more yellow on this than anything else. This has been a real easy way to have increased sales, to increase retention, to also increase upgrades, and give my staff something very proud to have on the wall. As far as selling was concerned, this is part of our presentation. We walk by this wall, and I allow them to understand, you're in good hands with the instructors here. Because of the relationship we have with the students, and also because of the instructor's skill. They want to know that. They want to know that they're in a high-quality place that's going to take care of them and have a good understanding of what we're teaching. Then I allow them to understand that this is an excellent value. Then that's not what we feel, it's not what the staff feels, but it's what the students have told us, that this is an excellent overall value. That 57% said it was an excellent overall value, and 42% said it was a good overall value. So it's hard to go wrong by joining here. As far as our retention, whenever a student has had a problem, maybe wanting to quit or wanting to slack off a little bit, we bring them to these charts and we allow them to understand what benefits they're accomplishing already. The instructor skill of our studio, with the relationship, and we ask them if this is the type of relationship they want to have, and we also allow them to understand that obviously they've signed up on an excellent and overall value of the program. This has helped retention because we keep the students. When you keep the students, they keep paying, and it allows them to want to upgrade into the program. When somebody starts to upgrade in our program, we always walk them through these charts, just like we did when we first walked them through as a white belt joining in our program. And this has been an excellent boost for my staff because the staff are proud of the job they're doing. They're proud of the instructor skill that the students have rated them with. They have a better rapport with the students now because of how the students related with the instructor relationship with the student, as well as they know that they're in a company that's given an excellent overall value of their program.
The Sounds of Success is produced in Clearwater, Florida. It is intended exclusively for members of the National Association of Professional Martial Artists and their staffs.